prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. He is Pastor Jeff, and we are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
We believe that God cares more about what's inside than what's outside of a person. So those tattoos, not a problem with God. I mean, unless they're inappropriate. But, you know, God doesn't care about some tattoos or what kind of jeans you're wearing. He cares about what's going on in your heart. Now, sometimes that might affect our outside, but he wants to start on the inside. Like, you know, so we don't care what you wear to Revolution Church. We don't care what you look like when you come here. We don't, none of that stuff really matters to us.
Right. The only thing that matters is, do you want to change?
That's exactly right.
You know, have you found a point where you've tried everything else that you've possibly could try,
which you don't have to get to that point,
right?
But, you know,
but if you are, you're welcome here too.
In fact, I would suggest not getting right? to that point in life.
Well, just if you've got this long laundry list of things that you're going to try to make your life better, and you're about in the middle of it, stop right there.
Stop
and come here.
That's right. It's not going to work.
There you go.
But if I just get that new car, I'll finally. Maybe if I get that girlfriend because she's. Smoking hot. I just, you know, right. If you're looking for happiness without God, you're looking for temporary happiness. Now, this isn't what our show's about today. We actually we're also about science and logic. And today we're going into some logic. Okay. We're going into some philosophy. How do we know God is real? We're also going to answer Bible contradiction. We're also going to answer some listener questions if we got time. I believe we will. But we're from Revolution Church. Come on out, 9 o'clock. 11 o'clock, you can still make that one if you're listening on Sunday, or 5 p.m. And if you need a little more elbow room, come to our 5 p.m. There's not as many people that one. If you don't mind feeling a little squished, come to our 11 o'clock. That one's got more people. But you know what? I don't care which one you come to. Just come to check this out. I always say tell people 3 times in a row, and then you'll know what the church is about.
There you go.
All right, so let's get into this, Dave. How do we know that God exists? Well, we often talk about an argument called the...
Cosmological argument?
Cosmological argument. Mm-hmm. And most of the time when we're talking about the cosmological argument... I just love saying that. It's a really big philosophical term. Think cosmos, cosmological, okay? Cosmos, like the universe, okay? We're talking about the universe. How do we know God created this? Which one do we normally talk about?
The Kalam?
Yes, we talk about one called the Kalam cosmological argument. And this one basically says that the universe had a beginning, and because it had a beginning, someone had to have created it.
Right.
Like it had to have start from somewhere. Which is a cool argument. It's valid. It's sound. It's logical. It's good.
And it's easy.
Today, we're actually going to talk about one called the vertical cosmological argument. I also love this one. I love this one. Because part of the problem is with the Kalam is if you can prove with this Kalam cosmological argument that God began the universe, it doesn't mean he's actually doing anything right now.
Right.
He could have just went boom, the Big Bang, you know, 14 billion years ago, boom.
And then hung up the gone fishing sign.
Gone fishing sign. Yeah. And then just let the world do its thing. He's just watching it like a movie. Yeah. But we don't believe that's who God is. Right. We think God's actually intimately involved. Amen. And so this is why we also like this new one, or not new one. This one's actually older. New. I mean, this was only a couple thousand years old.
It is new in the conversation as...
That's where we go.
Because, you know, we talked about the Kalam before, but
there
this
we go.
Is newer in the conversation.
There we go. So I like this newer one. It. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. This newer one goes... the argument goes like this, right?
Everything in the universe is dependent upon something else.
Okay. So everything depends on something else. We're going to break these down one by one as we go through, but that's how it starts.
All right. If everything is dependent, then the whole universe together is dependent.
Okay. So that's the second thing. So if it is true that everything's dependent, then the whole universe must be dependent.
Right. Therefore, the whole universe is dependent on some independent being beyond the universe for its current existence.
Okay. I'm going to read that one more time. So you're going to all listen to this so you get it in your brains, right? Dave, will you read it? Premise number one.
Everything in the universe is dependent upon something else.
Premise number two.
If everything is dependent, then the whole universe together is dependent.
Conclusion.
Number three. Therefore, the whole universe is dependent on some independent being beyond the universe for its current existence.
That's right. So some of you might be like, dude, I stink at philosophy. What is this? What is this talking about? Well,
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
And that offer is to show you what this means.
Yeah.
We're going to show you what this means. All right. Number one said everything in the universe is dependent upon something else. Mm-hmm. All right, Dave, let's list something in the universe. Anything. It could be anything of your choosing.
Beetlejuice. The star.
The star?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he was actually, he was a human. Well, are you talking about like in the movie or?
No, I'm talking about the star out in space.
Oh, the star.
Yeah, it's huge. It's very big.
Wow. Okay.
Look it up.
The star.
Look it up.
Okay. I'm actually a little familiar with the star. Okay. So what is that dependent upon?
Fuel.
Fuel. Mm-hmm. It's dependent on some sort of nuclear interaction.
Hydrogen.
Okay. So it's got to have the right type of fuel. If mm-hmm. that fuel ceases to exist, that star.
No more Beetlejuice.
No more
You would have to say the name three more
Beetlejuice,
times.
Beetlejuice, before Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. The star suddenly it'll just boom, he's back.
Right. No.
I didn't actually watch the movie. Is that how it works?
That's not how it works.
Okay. I'm just going to move on then.
The universe runs out of a hydrogen, or if that, or the universe runs out of hydrogen. If the star runs out of hydrogen, it will no longer be.
I feel like we're just out of it today.
Yeah.
Like we haven't quite focused.
All right, let's focus.
All right. So everything in the universe is dependent on something else. Right. Dave wouldn't exist if his parents didn't.
It's true.
It's true, okay?
Sad but true.
An apple wouldn't exist, you know, if an apple tree hadn't produced mm-hmm. it. You take a rock. If molecules failed to bond together,
uh-huh.
the rock would cease to exist. It's not only your starting point, it's your current existence. If your blood disappeared, you would cease to exist.
Yeah,
you would
right.
die, right? You are dependent on other stuff. If water suddenly stopped existing, if there was no more water, we would all die.
That would be a bad day.
That would be a terrible day, right? If there was no more whatever, oxygen, we would all die. So we're all dependent on things. And not only is it us, but like Dave pointed out, stars, mm-hmm. rocks, babies, scissors, whiteboards, all these things, everything is dependent on stuff.
Right.
Can't get around it. Okay, now I hope we all agree with that. Now we're going to go to now what?
Now that you said babies and scissors, and I just got a really funny, you know,
oh, that's
a bunch of babies playing with scissors.
That's terrible. That's terrible. Don't bring that up. All right.
Number two.
Said that because if you're doing a logic argument, you take number one mm-hmm. and number two. If both of them are true and they lead from one to another,
right.
if they're valid and they're sound, then the conclusion is also true. So number one, we agree with. What's mm-hmm. number two?
Since everything in the universe is dependent, every person, animal, and object, when you put them all together, the whole universe itself must be dependent.
Okay, very good. Number two actually reads, if everything is dependent, mm-hmm. then the whole universe together is dependent, right. as Dave so eloquently elucidated.
Overstated
for us, right? So you take all those things. You take all the people. Mm-hmm. And you put us together, and we're not any less dependent. We're all the stars put together, all the people put together, let's just pretend there's aliens, all the aliens mm-hmm. put together, all everything in the whole universe, just squeeze it all together, and so it's not suddenly independent universe. It's still dependent. Because when you put dependent things together, they're still dependent on something. People will say, well, no, that's not true. They say, just because the parts of something have an attribute, it doesn't mean that's the way the whole thing is.
Right.
So, like, maybe the universe, you know, its parts are dependent, but when you put it together, it's not dependent anymore.
Yeah. So what they're saying is that, you know, we can, something over here can get what it needs from over here. Because it's inside something, no longer are they dependent.
Sure, people like talk about the hydrological cycle or, you know, mm-hmm. These crops need water, but the rain needs the sun to evaporate. And guess what? Like, it all just fits perfectly. Like, it evaporates the water comes back down and it evaporates right. it again, it comes back down. And just like, once you put these pieces together, it's like a puzzle and each puzzle piece needs other puzzle pieces, but once you put it together, it's done.
Right.
It's complete. Well, that's not actually the way it is for the universe, okay? Because people try to use triangles as their point to make the analogy,
right.
okay? So they say, which, by the way, I think they should use puzzles because that's a better analogy than triangles. But people try to use triangles. They say, when you have a triangle, it's got three sides.
Right.
But when you put one triangle with another triangle and you put them together, what happens?
You get a square or a diamond.
Yeah, yeah. And suddenly you have an object with four sides. Mm-hmm. So they're like, see, the universe, maybe all the pieces are dependent, but when you put it together, it's independent. It's totally something new right. and different. Well, the answer is this. Dave, how would you read our description?
The being dependent mm-hmm. upon something is a fundamental attribute.
It's at the base. It's the core.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily coexist with our definition.
Nope.
But if we change, it doesn't.
Right.
What this means is that being dependent doesn't make us human beings, but we are always dependent.
Okay. The fact that we are dependent doesn't make us a human, but we are always, because we are humans, always dependent.
Right.
Okay. So it's kind of like if you take a piece of wood and you paint it black, it's still a piece of wood.
Right.
Maybe before it was a piece of wood that was yellowish. Mm-hmm. Now it's a piece of wood that's black. Just because you painted it, just because you changed it, it didn't lose its most fundamental attribute, which is wood. Okay. So you can't change the fundamental attributes. Being dependent is a fundamental attribute. And this mm-hmm. fundamental attribute, something is so elementary to an object that that object's going to retain the attribute if it's paired with something similar to it. So part of the nature of the object, a definition is a description that outlines an object's state of being.
Right.
Okay. So a G.I. Joe's definition is what?
He's a toy soldier.
He is a toy soldier. Mm-hmm. But if I used it to pretend to marry him to Barbie, I'm not saying I do this.
Okay. Sorry. I got that stuck in my brain. But, I'm glad you said you don't do this.
I don't do this. But yeah. If one of my daughters took one of my son's G.I. Joes mm-hmm. and used him to pretend to marry Barbie, its definition as a soldier is meaningless.
Right.
Okay. So its definition is meaningless. But his fundamental attribute, what is he? What's more fundamental than being a toy soldier?
He is actually a toy.
He's a toy. That's mm-hmm. more fundamental. Mm-hmm. So when he's placed with other toys, regardless of what the reason he's doing that for, he's still a toy.
Right.
You could make him a boat. He'd still be a toy.
Well, what if you use him as a hammer? He becomes a tool?
Well, then this analogy might break down. But you might at that point go, well, what's more fundamental to G.I. Joe soldier than even toy? Well, more fundamental to that is he's a hard object. Mm-hmm. And so he still is a hard object and
can be used for a hammer.
Can be used for a hammer.
Or to be married to Barbie.
That's right. So you have these fundamental attributes. And when you put them in positions that are with other objects sharing the same fundamental value, they're going to retain that fundamental value.
Right.
So being needy. Okay, being needy mm-hmm. is a fundamental attribute of human beings, being dependent on yes. stuff. Okay, can't get around it. Always have been, always will be dependent. There's nothing you can do differently about that. And every single thing in our universe is totally dependent on something else. Everything is. And so you can't put two things that are completely dependent to each other and end up with something that's independent. It's not. Being dependent is too fundamental. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about triangles, okay? They are an object with three sides.
Right.
You can put them together and you end up with an object with four sides. But what's more fundamental to a triangle than having three sides?
It's a shape.
It's a shape.
Right.
And you put it with another shape and you still make a
shape.
Shape, right? Like, mm-hmm. and understanding that when we make geometric shapes out of shapes and you understand that's a fundamental attribute, you understand that whatever's most fundamental to these things, you put it together with other things that has the same fundamental attribute, you're going to get the same thing. So everything in our universe is dependent. Everything. So you put dependent things with other dependent things, you're going to get more dependency, not less.
Right.
Okay, we're not done talking about this. It was really confusing for you, possibly. I'm going to clear it up with a really good analogy about babies. Babies. Crying okay. babies.
Crying babies?
Also, we're going to do a Bible contradiction, and we're going to answer some listener questions on the other side of this show. We got plenty of time left. We're going to do it today, Dave. We're going to do the listener questions.
Are we going to actually get through everything?
We're going to get through it. We've never done that
before. This is crazy. It can't be done.
It can be done. We're going to do it right now. TruthRevolution.tv is our website.
Yep. Past shows, you can get truth shots, and you can donate and ask questions.
That's right. A lot of you have chosen to give to the show. We appreciate that so much. You make this ministry go out to people who need it. And I love hearing emails from those of you who decided to follow Jesus because of this.
Amen.
Thank you. Hey, we'll be right back.
truth shots from truthrevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Does the Bible actually teach that hell will last forever?
Annihilationism is a view that says people in hell will actually be destroyed instead of punished forever.
But are there any verses that teach hell lasts forever?
Well, I think one of the clearest verses comes from Jesus' own mouth. Mark 9 says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell where the fire never goes out.
Ah, the fire will never go out.
And Jesus wasn't just teaching about a place called hell when he said the fire would never go out.
He was teaching about how people should avoid going there.
The people, even if they had to cut off their hand. Now, that's a pretty serious statement.
Of course, there are other verses on the subject, too.
On both sides of the argument. But the question we have to ask is, which verses are the clearest, and what does most of the evidence say? Don't just look at one or two verses.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or
if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic,
or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus,
then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
I love tattoos.
I love science.
We both love God. Yeah, you can have tattoos, science, and faith in Jesus at the same time.
Revolution Church would love to have you come on out.
Online at revo.church. That's revo.church.
Our service times are Sunday at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Try us 3 weeks in a row and...
and your tattooed scientific self may like it. Revo.church is our website. That is...
revo.church.
revo.church. Ephesians 1:4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
We're talking about the shape of things.
The shape of things.
We're talking about dependence.
Yeah.
Like if you put some dependence in a bucket, you put more dependence in a bucket. Here, have a bucket of dependence. It doesn't change.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, so to review, we've been talking about the vertical cosmological argument.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the way we know God exists. All right. The argument goes like this. Number one, everything in the universe is dependent upon something else.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that to be true, right? Everything. Like Dave's dependent upon water. I'm dependent upon sunlight. Dave and I are dependent upon each other. I mean, if you took away your blood, you'd cease to exist. Rocks depend upon the bonds between atoms.
Right.
Water depends upon hydrogen. Hydrogen depends upon its neutrons.
I mean, you're getting too deep there, buddy.
It's like everything is dependent. Everything is dependent. And you put dependent things together, you're going to get a universe that is still dependent.
Right.
And that's number two. It says, if everything is dependent, then the
whole universe
is together, mm-hmm. is dependent. Then the conclusion is, therefore, the whole universe is dependent on some independent being beyond the universe for its current existence. In other words, since our whole universe is all dependent, and you put dependent things with other dependent things, they're still dependent.
Right.
That means our whole universe is dependent on something.
Especially when you're doing your taxes.
Jeez. Like, our universe needs something to keep it existing.
Right.
It just, if there must be something outside of the universe that holds it together, otherwise it would cease to exist. And you're like thinking scientifically right now, you're going, wait a minute, what is it that we need? What needs to be put inside of the universe? We're not talking physical necessarily. We're not talking about something that needs to come inside. We're simply saying that this art, Okay, this argument has existed for thousands of years because we know everything in our universe is dependent. And you put dependent things with other dependent things, it's still dependent. Our universe depends on something outside of itself for its existence. If that thing outside of itself stopped helping our universe to exist, it would cease to exist.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
Doesn't the Bible have a verse say, in him all things hold together?
Yes, actually. Yeah, in Jesus Christ, it's talking about it. It says, through because of Jesus Christ, in him, all things are held together.
So, I mean, that just comes right alongside that argument.
Absolutely. Jesus literally does hold this universe together. Mm-hmm. Now, some people are saying, yeah, but you can put, like, you know, the hydrological cycle we talked about a little bit, or you can put certain things together, and then they form this pair that works really well. Okay, but you're not thinking about dependent items. Okay, you take two dependent things and put it, you're thinking about two complementary things.
Right.
Two complementary things can achieve something bigger. But we're talking about our dependency. You put two, a baby. Okay. A baby is dependent, right? If you stop taking care of a baby, it would die.
Right.
Well, let's say you put a baby in a forest. And then you're like, well, you know what? The baby needs some help. Let's put another baby out there. Is it going to be any less dependent?
I'm going to say no.
No. What if you put 1,000 babies together in a forest?
There you go. I'm sure they could probably build houses and
plant farms.
Yeah.
They're going to be 1,000 times more dependent.
Right. Yeah, exactly. More dependence.
Exactly. The more dependent things you put together, the more dependent it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so our universe is very dependent upon something outside of it. So then we come to our conclusion. It says, therefore, the whole universe is dependent on some independent being beyond the universe for its current existence. Wow. Dave, how would you summarize this in like one sentence or something? Is it possible to do that?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, just the simple fact that God created the universe and he holds it together.
Okay, that's a pretty good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
If I was trying to do the argument portion, I might say something like, we're all needy and the universe together isn't any less needy. We still need something outside of us to keep us going. Like the universe still needs something outside of itself to keep it going.
Wasn't that more than one sentence?
Well, there was a lot of commas and semicolons.
Okay. Gotcha.
You just can't see them. All right, let's do our Bible contradiction.
All right.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction says, well, it's from 1001biblecontradictions.com.
Yeah.
So that's the source right there. They have 1001. Good thing there's not 1002. Anyway, males must or need not appear before God in Jerusalem three times a year. Exodus 34:23 says, three times a year all your men are to appear before the sovereign Lord, the God of Israel. However, John 4:21 says, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem.
Ooh, which one is it?
Well, yeah, that's a...
Do they have to appear or not?
This is kind of a contradiction.
Well, our cracked acronym, how do you spell it?
C-R-A-C-K-E-D.
Is how we interpret the Bible. We're going to use the letter K today. Mm-hmm. K stands for...
Knit together.
Knit together means, you know, if you knit, you pull on one thread, it kind of tugs throughout the whole thing.
Right.
Right. The Bible's knit together. To understand one part, you got to pull on it and you see what the other parts do. So, it is true that in Exodus 34, in the Old Testament times, all men had to appear before God three times a year. That was their law. And Jesus did say, a time's coming when you'll worship the Father, not in this mountain, not in Jerusalem. Okay, so it looks like he's contradicting what the law of God said.
Right.
Until you know what happened, mm-hmm. until you see how scriptures knit together. So Jesus actually, he died on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, something crazy happened inside the temple. Do you know what that was?
Yes.
What?
The curtain that separated us from the Holy of Holies was ripped in two.
That's right. God literally supernaturally ripped this curtain from top to bottom in the temple. And this curtain separated the rest of the world from the Holy of Holies, the place where God dwelt inside the temple.
Right.
And it symbolized that once Jesus died and paid for our sins, because you and I can't pay for our sins. Like if we walked into that Holy of Holies, we would have died.
Yep.
But once Jesus died and paid for our sins, once God punished him instead of us, that curtain was torn. There is no more Holy of Holies. We can all access God now. And then Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to his believers on the day of Pentecost. And here's what we read in 1 Corinthians 6.
Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own.
Okay, so do we have to appear before God in the temple three times a year? Well, let's just say technically yes, but your body, as if you're a believer, your body is now the temple of God.
It better be more than three times a year, buddy. Better be every waking day.
Better be, right? So you do. You're appearing in the temple of God all the time because it is your body now mm-hmm. that is the temple of God, okay? We don't, quote, appear before God, you know, at the church three times a year because the church is just a new name for a temple. No, we don't need temples. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We right. go to church because church is from the Greek word ekklesia. It's a, Jesus defined it. We got other shows about it, but it is supposed to be taught by Jesus, commanded by Jesus, the place where, and the people who gather together to do the work of God together. It's Amen. The business meeting of God. That's what church exists for. And so we have the temple of God as our bodies. That's the answer for contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Dave?
Yes.
Before the Bible contradiction music even gets done, we are going to go into a...
I got a question.
A listener question. All right. Here's a listener question. He says, I don't really understand the Apostles' Creed. Is this something that we should be teaching our children? The two parts that make me a little leery are that Jesus descended into hell and I believe in the Catholic Church. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Obviously, this person's not Catholic.
Right.
So they're concerned with the line that says, I believe in the Catholic Church. Well, a couple of things about that Catholic saying. When this part was written, the Catholic Church is just a phrase that they used back then mm. to mean universal. Like, although you and I don't go to the same church, we're part of the same universal or Catholic Church.
Right.
It just sounds weird to us because we use the name Catholic for that branch of Christianity. Mm-hmm. There's Protestant and then Catholic, but that's not what this is referring to.
Right.
Catholic in this term is just referring to universal, all churches.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, we have to understand that the Apostles' Creed was not written by the apostles.
Right.
It was written by people after the apostles, and they just named it the Apostles' Creed, I think, because they wanted to imply that this is what the apostles taught.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got a link to legionnaire.org that we're going to post on the website
okay.
where you can read about the Apostles' Creed. Good stuff. But it's good to know that, no, Jesus did not descend into hell. Some people say he did. He did not. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished.
Right.
It is finished. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn in two. Mm-hmm. Right? It was done. That's where our sins was paid for. Jesus didn't have to go to hell to pay for our sins. Now, 1 Peter 3 says that Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison while he was dead. So it may be a reference to that. But it's not Jesus going to hell to pay for things. It's Jesus going to hell to preach and tell them
right.
what's up. So that's that listener question.
All right. Next listener's question. Why don't you believe in a rapture?
Oh, my goodness.
That opened a can of worms.
Can of worms!
A, you can never go too far. B, if I'm going to get busted, it is not going to be by a guy like that.
Okay, so I don't know who wrote this question, but mm-hmm. he may be a fine guy. But yeah, you can never go too far. No. So let's talk about why we don't believe in a rapture. They're going to do this really quickly. And what I want you to do most of all is go to truthrevolution.tv and type in rapture.
Okay.
You're going to search rapture at truthrevolution.tv because you're going to find a lot of information there. But the basic gist of it is this. If you go to the book of Revelation and you look up Revelation verse chapter 1, verse 1, it's going to say the revelation of John, which Jesus gave him to show him what must soon take place.
Right.
And you close the book of Revelation, it says what must soon take place. And when you go to 1 Thessalonians and you read about being lifted up in the clouds, you go to our website and type in 1 Thessalonians and find that verse at revo.church. You'll find that is just a reference to God coming to judge the world.
Mm-hmm.
Clouds is what was used in prophetic literature in the Old Testament to refer to God's judgment. And so when we meet him in the clouds, it doesn't mean our bodies are floating up in the air. It means that we are going to meet God when he judges the earth.
Right.
That's
okay.
all it means.
Gotcha.
Now, there's a lot more about this. That's why you got to go to truthrevolution.tv and type in rapture. All right. Also, if you go to Matthew 24, you can look it up and see that it wasn't the Christians who got taken away and the bad people got
right.
left behind. It was the good people who got left mm-hmm. behind.
As in the days of Noah.
That's right. So check it out yourself too. All right. Revolution Church. We meet at 9 a.m., 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. Come on out today. You've been thinking about it. Just do it. Just come on out.
Just do it.
TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church.